Let us turn our attention to how God's word speaks to us today. And our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Ezekiel and is part of a vision Ezekiel was given of the coming of, and manifestation of God's kingdom. He's been in his vision hosted by an angel, and he writes, "Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east, and the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me round to the outside, to the outer gate that faces towards the east, and the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. It was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Then again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, 'Mortal, have you seen this?' Then he led me back along the bank of the river." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew. It's an account that is probably familiar to many of you. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on that water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have in the one account from Ezekiel an image of the waters of life flowing out of the temple of heaven in increasing depth and power, so much so that eventually it would require swimming to cross them. And those waters were a sign of life from God flowing forth. And in the gospel reading, we have the Sea of Galilee, Jesus walking on water, but it is water that is deep, and in this case, the depth of the water is frightening to the disciples rather than being a sign of life. And I love the two images of water and how we respond to it, because it took me back to watching people at the county park in Michigan where my first church was. There was a spring-fed lake with a beach, and there were times that I would take my lunch up there during the day, and I'd watch people at the water. Now, some dressed often as if they were there on lunch break also from work might take off their shoes and socks, roll up their pants, unless they were wearing shorts, and then just kind of walk ankle deep along the shoreline as if to say, "Oh, let me get a little bit of refreshment before I'm back to the grind. The water didn't slow them down in any way. It no doubt felt refreshing, even if there was hardly any contact with the water. It involved very little effort, and afterwards, very quickly, they would be reshod and no one would know they had been in the water. Now, some people would come in shorts or would roll their pants up to about the knee and go wading knee deep in the water, as Ezekiel did in his vision. Now, these people would stay away from others who might be splashing because they wanted to keep their clothes dry. Walking knee deep slowed them down a little bit, but not too much. It was refreshing. When they got out, if they had been careful, they could roll down their pants with no sign or very little sign that they'd been in the water. Then there were those who changed into swimwear, striding into the water until it was waist deep, and then it's as if the chill of the water stopped them. And they go, "Ooh, that's cold," and arms would go up lest anything splash higher than the waist. They watch carefully. They avoid anybody who is splashing or swimming near them. When you're waist deep, you can definitely feel the drag of the water as you go by, and also a light buoyancy to each step when you lift your foot off the bottom. And once you get out of the water, when you've been waist deep, people can tell you've been there, at least until you dry off or change your clothes. And lastly, there are the swimmers who give themselves over to the water. They plunge in. They take their feet off the bottom. They may go out over their heads. They trust the buoyancy of their bodies in the water, and they do their best to look like they're having fun. And I thought about those people, and I thought about the image from Ezekiel. And I noticed, as I mentioned, the further from the city of God and the temple the river went, the deeper it became. And as we live out our lives in this world, separated as it is from the fullness of holy kingdom living, the more we may need the presence of the waters of life, and the more deeply we may need to plunge into it. So let's think about how the behavior at beaches might reveal something about the depth of our individual faith. How deep is our faith? Do we walk ankle deep in faith? Along the shorelines of faithfulness, a little stroll through the water of faith. Yeah, Easter, Christmas, Cousin Jamie's wedding. If you don't see poinsettias or lilies or a bouquet in a bride's hand, you're a little bit shaken because you're only in there to be ankle deep. It's a bit refreshing to sing the carols and the hymns, to hear the bridal chorus, but you can leave the occasion without anybody really knowing you'd been there. Ankle-deep faith involves little effort, and very quickly afterwards, you get back into the life outside of faith. You really haven't been impacted in a lasting way. Your life hasn't been shaped by response to Christ. Your values are based more on pragmatism and politeness than on being a herald of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Or do we have a knee-deep faith? You have to make a little more effort to get into the faith. You stay at a comfortable depth. You went to Sunday school as a child, probably. You may have stopped studying the Bible after confirmation. That was like kind of getting your high school degree. You might come regularly on Sundays, but you also just leave a lot of it behind every Sunday. Knee-deep believers rarely see a need to go deeper into faithfulness. They stay away from splashers, those who stir things up by how they practice their faith. Don't splash me, I'm not cut out for that. Besides, I've done it before at somebody else's turn. I don't have time to go to do the community mission work, they say when the recruiter splashes toward them. Or, don't splash me, I'm not one of those happy clapper music types, if additional music styles and songs are added next to what they're used to. The water may slow them down a bit, but not too much. And when done, they get out. And if they've been very careful, there may be no sign that they've been in the waters of faithfulness. They don't talk about their faith much outside church. They keep religion out of conversations, don't pay attention or mention praying for others too often, rarely explain their actions in terms of their faith. Then there are those who go in waist deep into faithfulness. They stride into a Christian life. Their faith makes them change, even as waist deep swimmers have to change into bathing suits. Then it's as if the impact of their faith stops at a certain point. Waist-deep Christians attend regularly, help in church activities, serve on committees, but if it starts getting too much, the arms go up and they go, "Don't splash me. Ooh, that's cold." They walk gingerly, creating no splash that might take the impact further up their body. They watch carefully and avoid splashing children or energetically swimming adults. When you're waist deep, you definitely feel the drag of the water as you walk. And a little bit of buoyancy, but only a little bit, because waist deep Christians often make sure they remain in control. Feet on the bottom where they can get the firm footing, arms lifted up, only getting part of themselves immersed in the Christian life, and only for the amount of time that is comfortable for them. That's kind of, I think, where Peter was when he stepped out of the boat. He had enough faith to try it, but boy, he really liked having firm ground under his feet, and he would have been happier if that lake had been waist deep. Swimming Christians plunge into faithfulness, continuing to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and love all their lives. They take their feet off the bottom of daily life. They let the currents of Christ's calling have more control over the direction of their lives. They may get in there over their heads in serving Christ, but as Peter found out, the opposite of faith is fear. And when we fear, we lose our sense of support that God can give us. We get stuck only trying out things that are risk-free or almost so. You want to learn how to swim? Well, join the women's Bible study, do the adult Bible study, find a way to act out your faith at the mission and ministry fair, engage in conversation and prayer with one another. Because the most wholehearted swimmers in faith are those we often call saints, because they're so obviously journeying with God. There's a peacefulness in their hearts, even in the midst of an unpeaceful life, because they trust in Christ's presence. They give themselves over to the buoyancy of the waters of life, of the buoyancy of their spirits in faith. And they look like they're having the most fun because of the joy they have in the Lord. So as we start our program year, take advantage of the time ahead to ask yourself, how deep is my faith? Amen.